Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you're able to join me for the broadcast today. On yesterday's broadcast, we began looking at the subject of worship and what is the heart of a worshiper. And we were looking at Luke, the 7th chapter, to get a description of what it really means to worship. And by definition, I guess the best way to describe it is a bowing of one's heart and life before God, acknowledging His supreme lordship, regardless of anything that you might be going through. It's an acknowledging of God for who He is, because He's worthy of all praise. Philippians 4:4 says to rejoice in the Lord always. Paul said, and again I say rejoice. That Greek word for rejoice is chairo, which means to rejoice, as if joy were the direct result of God's grace. And it's related to a Hebrew word meaning a young sheep or lamb, indicating the frisking and skipping of a lamb for joy. I don't know if you've ever perhaps been on the highway and driven by a flock of sheep, and it's so fun to see the little lambs who literally skip. They're just joyful in the way they're just full of life and enjoying life and enjoying the sunshine, and it's just a blessing to see that. Anyway, that's the word, that's the meaning that is connected with that rejoice. And another very powerful passage of scripture on the subject of worship, I've always found, was in 2 Samuel chapter 6. And of course, this is the account of when David brought the Ark of the Lord. He brought the Ark of the Lord back into Jerusalem, and this time it was done the proper way. It was carried on the shoulders of the priests. And in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14, it says, and David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And then I'm not going to read all those verses, but basically, as he finished, the people offered their offerings. He blessed the people in the name of the Lord. He gave gifts to them, a cake of bread, a good piece of flesh, a flagon of wine. And then when David, in verse 20, returned to bless his household, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. And David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord, and I will be yet more vile than thus, and I will be base in my own sight. And the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I behead in honor. Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death. There's some very powerful lessons in this. And she basically says to him when he comes back, you know, what a sight you were today. You exposed your person in the sight of the slave girls like any empty-headed fool, one translation says. But David answered, he said, but it was done in the presence of the Lord, who chose me instead of your father and his family, and appointed me prince over Israel, the people of the Lord. He goes on, another translation says, before the Lord, I will dance for joy. Yet Yea, I will earn yet more disgrace and lower myself still more in your eyes. But those girls of whom you speak, they will be honored. They will honor me for it. And think about this, because Michal did not understand David's heart, because she did not have a heart to worship God as he did, she was barren for the rest of her life, which was a very powerful curse for women in those days, to be barren and not to have children. And beloved, when we make fun or malign those who are seeking to worship God with all of their hearts, there's a danger of spiritual barrenness when we're critical of genuine acts of worship. Beloved, we can't afford to do that. I'd like to share a quote from Bob Sorg, director of music at Leland Bible Institute, as well as an accomplished pianist. And he declares, "In the church today, nothing is quite so controversial as worship. Entire churches have been split over manners of worship and the proper way to conduct it. But a choice is set before us. We can either choose to please men, or we can decide to please God. It rarely seems possible to do both." That's something to think about. Well, all right, we were looking at the beautiful example of Mary as she was worshiping the Lord. She came in and wiped the Lord's feet with her hair, bathing his feet with her tears. And so what does Jesus say? It's very interesting. He says to her at the end, he said, "Thy sins are forgiven. Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." Mary was willing to endure the disrespect, the disapproval of others for the sake of hearing her master's "well done." Disciples of Jesus, perhaps, that were surrounding him, they might have been thinking, "Why doesn't Jesus do something? This woman is obviously out of order. Why is he letting this thing drag on?" That's the disciples might have been thinking that. And can you imagine what the host, the Pharisee, was thinking? Well, he basically felt that, he obviously didn't know. He wasn't much of a prophet because he didn't know what manner of woman this was touching him. But rather than rebuking her, Jesus commends her. And what a beautiful assurance this is. When we worship, Jesus will respond. The disciples had a lot of head knowledge about worship, but look at this. It took a sinful woman, someone who was uneducated in the many forms of worship, the proper way, if you will, to reveal the heart of a true worshiper to the very disciples of Jesus. She was extravagant. She didn't care what others thought. She wanted to touch Jesus, to minister to him. And beloved, spiritual maturity does not exempt one from being a worshiper. In fact, there's even a greater responsibility upon elders and spiritual leaders and those who are spiritually mature to worship the Lord and to be an example to others. You know, I've often thought that the pastor, the worship leaders, they ought to be the most extravagant to show the people what it means to worship the Lord. And then also there's a final thought I want to convey to you in this particular Bible story, this example of a true worshiper. There is a cleansing power in worship. What were the last words of Jesus? He said, "Your sins are forgiven." And beloved, we must not allow sin or guilt or condemnation deter us from intimate fellowship with God. God never holds us at arm's length when we sin. He convicts us, surely he does, but he never condemns us when we sin. And that conviction will lead to repentance, but condemnation, that only leads to despair. Conviction results in victory over sin. Condemnation brings abject defeat. Conviction motivates us toward God, whereas condemnation leaves us deflated and powerless. I know you've experienced that in your life. I have. God convicts, people condemn. Guilt and condemnation are great hindrances in our worship. Beloved, God is wanting us to come just as we are, just like that song says. Sometimes we think that's just for those that are not saved, but beloved, it's for us at all times for us to come to the Lord. He is our rock, beloved. Many have been sorely tried and feel like the very gates of hell have come against you, but Jesus promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against His church. You might be hurting now, hurting very badly, and the devil's done all he can to destroy your faith and your hope and your ability to stand and to endure. But the devil is a liar. The truth is not in him. And beloved, if you're going through a difficult time right now, at the end of the broadcast, the announcer is going to give my contact information. I invite you to write. You don't have to share a lot. The Holy Spirit is able to and allows me to read between the lines, to amplify, to pray according to His will in the Holy Spirit. His will, beloved, is all that counts. He said that He would never leave us nor forsake us, and He's faithful to keep that promise. Praise God. For the Spirit of the Lord would say, O child of mine, sing, sing and bless the Lord. Sing a new song of praise. You are loved and you are important to me. Do you not know that the things that concern you and your loved ones concern me? Has the enemy been so relentless that it seems that I've forsaken you? In your heart of hearts, you know that's not true. You know that I haven't. Yet I see the frustration and the times of discomfort and discontent in your spirit. Let your heart reach out to me in praise. Praise will stop the enemy from attacking your thoughts, and those things that have been as mountains will crumble down to the size of little pebbles. You will walk over them. Yea, the mountain will not swallow you up. I've never called you to sit in defeat. I've never called you to feel so alone. For I, beloved, am with you. I am, so you may flourish in my powerful presence. You've only begun to experience just a little taste of the measure of my power and victories that I have reserved for you. Even now, lift your hands in the surrender of praise, and you will know that I am so very close to you. Yea, I desire to take the gift of your life as a living sacrifice and give you the increase for your gift of praise, your offering, and your sacrifice of faithfulness. Hold on to my hand and feel my strength flow unto you, says the Lord. Praise God. Well, I can't add anything to what the Lord has said. God bless you. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.